Our gospel reading today comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and their places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance and say long prayers. They will receive their greater condemnation." He sat down opposite of the treasury and watched the crowd putting in money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came in and put two small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples to them and said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I have a question for you today that's like, how do we measure life or the quality of life? Well, some of you might say that we weigh it in earthly measures and weights. Others would say life is measured in dollars and cents. How much you have earned shows what the quality of life. And so others might say that we should use spiritual scales such as love and the amount of sacrifice we have and the amount of friends that we have in this world. Well, last week was the election of our president. And some people measure how well the country will succeed by the results of the election, but that puts a lot of weight on one person. And maybe that shouldn't be the weight that we use to measure the success of the country. The country's success is also measured in so many other ways, like how we live our lives and have our own expectations. We too have some responsibility for how our country operates. That's a measure and a weight as well. We measure everything these days, it seems. It seems, you know, like we ask, how good are things for you? And how much can we lift in a life? We measure how pretty things are and how much we even love others is measured. Kids tend to measure things a little differently. Like the standard of taste is replaced by the standard of fun, fun shapes and fun colors and fun things to do with the packages when it's empty. It's amazing what a kid can do with an empty box. When my oldest daughter was young, she used to measure things about how shiny things were. The shinier, the better. And everything shiny was worth a lot. Although we try not to admit it, the truth is that today, more than ever, we are a society and a culture that judges everything and everyone according to its monetary value. We assume that if something costs a lot, it must be good. If another version costs even more, it must be better. We know this when we go to the grocery store. Most of us don't buy generic beans because we want the beans that are more expensive, thinking they're better beans. Not necessarily. You know, that is also why some colleges have raised their tuitions over the years, that their enrollments have swelled because they have become expensive colleges. There must be more because it costs more to go there. You know, we kind of do this in the church as well, especially when it comes to financial support and volunteerism. Because one gives more or does more things for the church in comparison to some, they must be better people, right? Well, nothing could be further from the truth, and I hope you see that. None of us really know what truly occurs in the lives of others, and we really don't know what happens behind the scenes at the church, of how many people really participate in the ministries of everyday ministry here. Come to the church office once in a while during the week, and you'll see how many things are happening. But if it looks like an injustice and we aren't pulling and others aren't pulling their weight, do we really get to judge? Well, we shouldn't. We need to look at our own hearts and our own lives instead. That's the only one that we should need to be concerned about. Our culture really does like to judge others through the many ways that we measure things. One of the conversations we have about this time of the church every year is financial and physical support of the church. We talked quite a bit about that at the meeting this morning. I know some say that everyone needs to give their tithe or 10% regardless of their expenses or their situations. And others feel that they give what they can financially and they will make up the amount that they might owe the church in other ways, like time and talent or devotion to the church. You know, either way, we all seem to justify our actions and judge others for what they do. Well, our gospel reading today, the challenge that greets the disciples of Jesus is whether or not we can buck this expensive and affluent judgmental system that we seem to have in our society today. Jesus' declaration is to the faithful widow is more generous than all the riches and gifts that have gone before her. This should really cause us to sit up and take note. To make sense of Jesus' statement, we must radically adjust our value systems. Christ's challenge to us in this task is literally to let the scales from our own eyes and the weight measurements fall from our eyes, kind of like in Paul's story. So can we judge life according to a different set of scales than worldly weights and measures or dollars or cents or stocks and bonds? Can we look at it in a different way? A good example of how little progress we have made along these lines since Jesus set forth this challenge is evidenced by the same reactions we have today regarding the poor and the downtrodden and even the homeless. I mean, Jesus was not applauding the empty purse donation to the poor makes, but rather is appalled by what he witnesses. It was like the widow was treated as a mere pawn in the hands of a greedy and religious establishment. In that day, just to be a widow meant that you were poor, unprotected, and had no voice in society. They weren't treated very well. And so by claiming that this widow's act of sacrificial giving brands her as an innocent target of dishonest religious authorities, then aren't we perhaps revealing more about our 21st standards than any other issues that may be high in this 21st century text? Or this first century text? We haven't changed much. I mean, the issues of salvation and the practices of self-sacrifice are not really that popular in today's culture either. We want more for our buck, and that's what we're going to get. And to give more away tends to hurt what we're trying to do in our lives. And we are always looking for something for nothing. The standards that calibrate our 21st century scales weigh out the gift of the poor widow and find it pathetically light and virtually meaningless. We look at the amount that she gave, both nothing and everything at the same time, and we judge it against about where she gave it to a temple treasury set up to perpetuate a religious life and a cultic style that Jesus declared bankrupt. So did she really give anything? But what happens if we let the scales fall from our own eyes? Then what happens when we use a set of standards not based on monetary value or worldly success ratings in view of this text? For example, when my kids were in grade school, my youngest daughter, Carrie, who has now just turned 30, she loved to make cards and crafts with her colors and her papers. She would put hours of devotion and love into working with them, with her crayons and the glue and the glitter, making things really shiny. And I remember one card that she drew for me looked like I gained 50 pounds, and then I was 50 pounds heavier than I was. And I have to admit, I did gain some weight when I went to the seminary, but I don't know. And I could have judged that card, and I took offense by it by throwing it in the garbage. But I responded in that same spirit that it was given to me. And I told her it was one of the most beautiful cards that I'd ever seen. And I think I still have that card. In the view of the scribes and the Pharisees, religion had become an outward display of ritual and ceremony performed in strict conformity to the prescribed 163 rules of the Torah of the Jewish law. You live by the law because you are told to live by the law. But for Jesus, religion was first and foremost a spiritual affair, where the most important thing was what was in a person's heart, how you felt. You did what you did from your heart. We still make those irreverent rituals and worry about what other people think in the church. Way too much. I am reminded of a story of a young woman that she shared with me one day in my last congregation. After church, she and a handful of other people went out for breakfast, which is that they always went to Denny's. They went to breakfast. And as she was seated, she noticed that the booth next to them was occupied by a small family that included an 11-year-old boy that was also from their church. She tried not to eavesdrop on their conversation, but it was kind of inevitable because the father kept on literally yelling at the boy. It seemed that the kid had slept through the church service and embarrassed the father. "You disgraced your mom and me," he shouted. "You'll be punished for this when we get home. You should have been sitting up and paying attention. Everyone was looking at you. I was ashamed of you. What's wrong with you? What will people think?" Then she noticed that the boy began to get all teary-eyed, and the father just kept on shouting, "Well, why don't you eat something?" And by this time, you know that the boy wasn't hungry anymore. And he says, "Well, what will the waitress think? Start eating." And the father ended the conversation with him saying, "Well, next week I'm going to take you to church twice, just for punishment." Nice. So that woman decided to step in on behalf of this boy and then walked up to the booth stating, "Well, what a fine-looking son. By the way, did you notice how stuffy and uncomfortable the air in the church was today? It made me so sleepy I couldn't focus and I could barely keep my eyes open." She told me that she prayed for happier Sunday mornings in that child's life. I thanked her for her insight and prayed that her courageous action had some good effect on that ignorant father. And it makes me sad when I think about that father, and I still pray for that his passion for outward appearances will someday yield to the gospel spirit of compassion. Now back to the temple. The temple treasury had places into which the worshipers placed their contributions for the upkeep of the temple, the offering plates. It was a requirement of the Jewish law to dedicate the first fruits of their laborers to the harvest of God. And when it was the season of Pentecost, and people came to Jerusalem from all over with their offerings in the form of money. And at times, it almost became a contest of persons showing off their wealth by ceremoniously dropping large sums of money into those temple treasuries. But Jesus was not impressed. And this poor woman appears and drops two little coins, and that today would just be the value of basically nothing. And which was everything that she had. Then Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "I want you to observe this poor widow who contributed more than all the others had donated. The others gave from their surplus, but she gave from her heart all that she had to live on. Her purity of intention was priceless. Even to the upkeep of the temple, the coins were worthless." The coins were worthless. The big contributors to the temple treasurers are remembered not for the size of their gifts, but for the self-serving attitude in which they made them. The poor widow was remembered not for the size of her tiny contribution, but for the spirit in which it was given, from the heart. This story is a good one that helps us to better understand what it means to be a good, gracious giver, giver from the heart. When we give to the church or charity, we want to give from the heart, not because we feel like we should or have to, nor do we want to give because we have heard that when you give to the church, God gives you back twice as many blessings than what you put in. We've all heard that. We want to give from the heart, even if it hurts a little, because we want to make a difference in our own lives and for God. I don't think percentages and tithes are what this is about. It's about giving for the right reasons. During the course of this next year as your interim pastor, I will walk with you in finding out why it is that this place is so important to you and what makes it so. You are here in church because this place is important to you for a reason. And you will find out that you have a huge investment to this ministry, the place called Beautiful Savior. And it needs your help. It is a part of your life. You are a part of this church. If you expect your church life to be in your life as the love of Christ, that means life, then you need to have the heart and the body of Christ, as the body of Christ. If you are not in the discipline of giving a monetary gift, well, just give something because it is in your heart. We cannot realize our true value as human beings or children of God, as living as modern-day scribes, constantly performing for the appearance sake and judging others. The truth about who we are and what we ought to do comes only to those who live in the spirit of the cross. Only to those who offer themselves to God, the neighbor, in the spirit of love. That is what gets results. That is being a disciple of Christ. Let us end with prayer. Generous God, help us to offer our part of all that you have given to us. Inspire us to be a generous people who do live our lives for the sake of others and to be of use in the culture and the world of today. Amen.